Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
That's the support for kneecaps. Liam O'Gahanny, or Mokara as you can hear fans shouting in the background, as he arrived in court in London a little earlier this morning. Judge there set to hear a legal argument that'll decide if a full trial is likely to go ahead or not. He's charged with terror offences, which he denies, facing charges of displaying a flag in support of Hezbollah during a gig in the O2 Forum back last November. And a decision on what's going to happen is potentially likely at some stage this afternoon. We will have more on that in a few moments' time. But as was the case when Mokara appeared in court in London back in June, protests kicked off outside the court building, organised by a number of pro-Palestine groups, along with fans, along with kneecap supporters and with campaigners. They've been there actually since much earlier this morning. One of those is harpist Rosie Murphy, who travelled over from Dundalk. Rosie, why are you there?
My good friend Emily De Burka at Crina Gaeilge is helping out with this. It's somewhat of a protest, but it's also a demonstration and a concert and a real show of solidarity between every oppressed person from the British Empire. And here we are at the centre of the empire here. So Emily did invite me to come down and play the harp. The harp is quite a fitting symbol in terms of resistance against oppression from the British anyway, historically. So I was delighted to come down, bring the harp and hopefully play a few tunes.
Did you say there's a concert outside Westminster Magistrates Court?
Yeah. So there's myself, I'll be playing a few tunes. There's a band, a newly formed band, off playing a load of rebel songs and Irish songs. They have a rapper as well, off a Palestinian rapper. And I think there's a couple of surprise guests as well. So it's a brilliant event they've organised here.
It's a bit bizarre outside Westminster Magistrates Court, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. And I'd say the amount of police here matches the amount of people at the demonstration to show support as well. So they've shut down the whole road outside the court, as you can probably hear from some beeping in the background. Every so often, there's no way the cars are getting through. So,
and did you fly over from Dundalk for this especially?
I did, yeah. But I am over in London quite a lot. I do some gigs over here quite a bit. So, and I have good friends over here, so I was only delighted to have another excuse to come over.
Are you a kneecap fan?
I am, yeah. I've been a kneecap fan since about 2017 or so. In Dundalk, and I do a lot of work in Belfast as well, so it's great to see them come from where they started musically and where they are now and what they stand for. So, yeah, I am.
The fact that Mokara's due to find out at some point today whether or not a full trial is likely to go ahead. What's your view on that, Rosie?
Well, I think as many people would agree, I think it's one of the most disgraceful acts of British law enforcement we've seen in a while. But I mean, it's very easy to point the finger and call someone a terrorist or an aggressor when you're the one doing the aggressing. So I think it's a lot of deflection here today. And although it's great that we're all out here showing our support for him, I think that at the back of everyone's mind is how devastating and how heartbreaking the tragedies that are happening in Gaza are. And we can't, I mean, it's great to support him and focus on him, but it shouldn't really be taking away the focus that what's really happening.
He is accused of displaying a flag, though, in support of Hezbollah.
I know a couple of people that have flown a Union Jack flag, and I think that that's just as bad. I don't know if if one, you know, I don't know if it's a
terrorist organisation, you know, prescribed terrorist organisation. So you think you can't separate the two? Is that your point?
I mean, I think out of my perspective, I'd say the British Empire are the biggest terrorists in history. And I don't think that they have a standing on who is a terrorist or who is an aggressor with their history. So,
and look, if anyone was here, they'll say there's atrocities on both sides, and doesn't equate to perhaps what's happening at the moment. But your point is that I think was the word you used there was a deflection. Is that?
Well, I would say today is a huge deflection because the thing with the prescribing of Palestine Action and other direct action organizations, it's great. That's all made the news and the headlines now. But what we really should be reading and focusing on is what atrocities are being carried out every day and how little time we have left to stop this.
So what do you hope will happen from today, from the fans and the supporters that are there?
Well, I just think it goes to show that, from some speeches that were made today and the general atmosphere here is that we're not the terrorists. They are. The British state are the terrorists. They've always been the terrorists, and I think we can see that from the past 800 years here. We can see that from their actions in Palestine with the Balfour Agreement. We can see the Balfour Declaration, sorry. We can see that throughout history. And I think that that's really what we're realising here today, that everyone is of the same opinion today.
Rosie, what are you going to play? Is it this afternoon you're performing?
I am. I'm playing I'm playing this afternoon. I have, I'll say a bit of history about the harp and its role in resistance in Ireland. And I will then play Back Home in Derry, the Bobby Sands tune that he wrote while he was in Loncash.
Harpist Rosie Murphy. Rosie, thanks a million for joining us here and getting in touch with us on Lunchtime Live today.
Thank you.
Gareth Fryhite is with me too on the line from London this lunchtime. Gareth is from the Nacardja Collective Band. Gareth, are you performing as well?
I'm emceeing the day and performing as well. So pretty busy day.
Did you decide to come over yourself or were you invited?
Oh, as in how did I get involved with this?
I don't know, we call it a concert or event or I don't know what. It sounds more like an event, really, doesn't it?
It does. It feels like a bit of a festival atmosphere, to be honest. The vibes are very good. I have to say, the police as well, they're all smiles. We've been playing all loads of tunes, you know. The focus, I guess, on like solidarity, you know. I was actually asked to MC. I've done a bit of MCing at festivals in the past, so I was asked to MC. And then it came up that I was a musician. And so they said, oh, so you're in charge of music now. You know, kind of, they were like, well, will you do it? Yeah. And so I just called up, a bunch of my mates. And we went and we played the last one on the 18th of June. And it was really good. And someone asked us, you know, what's the name of your band? And we weren't actually a band at the time, but we've sort of started playing together now since. And that's kind of how it came about.
And so, and just who asked you to do to MC the event? Was it Kneecap themselves, the band, that asked?
No, it's a group called the Terence McSweeney Organisation. So it's run by a good friend of mine and Frank Lynn. You check out the work that they do, and they did a commemoration for Terence McSweeney. He was the Lord Mayor of Cork City, who died on hunger strike in 1920 in Pentonville Prison in London. So they actually, you know, they're more of a historical society, but. Anyway, they decided to use their, I guess, demonstration protesting skills to support Kneecap because it's something they feel very strongly about, which is free speech, you know, and freedom of expression. So the Kneecap guys then, you know, heard about it and then they shared it. And that's how it kind of became this big thing. And the Palestinian activists have sort of referred to the group as the London Irish Brigade. So that's kind of what they're going under. But it started off as the Terence McSweeney organisation, actually a historical sort of society.
How many people roughly, I want you to paint the scene for me there, Gareth. How many people roughly would you guess are outside Westminster Magistrates Court this lunchtime?
I would say, and the last one was massive. There was probably about 2,000. I'd say I'm not very good at guessing.
I know, so it's hard.
It could be completely wrong. But if I had to wager, I would say there's probably about 5,000 people there now. We've actually shut down one section of the road, the Marylebone Road, whereas last time we didn't have to, you know, because there was actually a lot more space. So a lot of people have flown in from Ireland, it seems. And there's a lot of Palestinians here as well. And yeah, the London Irish Brigade. I'd like to say the Irish in London for Palestine. That's another group as well. There's a lot of cross collaboration, and they have amazing sort of relationships with the Palestinian community. And so I'm emceeing a pretty stacked lineup of Palestinian activists, the Gaza Sunbirds, who are Paralympic athletes who actually have suffered, you know, limb loss and really devastating injuries. And Gaza Sunbirds are going to be at my fundraiser, our fundraiser in the Cardi Collective this evening in Hackney at a place called Biddle Bros. And they'll be like selling, you know, merch and stuff. And all of this goes directly to people who are directly affected by IDF shelling, bombing and sniper attacks.
Merchandise. Is there merchandise on sale outside Westminster Court today?
No. That'll probably be later. I guess it's, every sort of item of merchandise this evening at the fundraiser that's sold will go towards Gaza Sunbirds, who do direct community outreach on the ground in Gaza.
Okay, the fact about the bombardment there. Stay with me, Gareth, for a moment. I just want to bring in, I think we've got Stefan is with us on the line in London today. Stefan, you were outside the court a little earlier, is that right?
Hello, yes, good afternoon. I was indeed. 8:15, I arrived there this morning.
Okay, and did you travel over, or sorry, are you living there, Stefan?
No, I'm based in London. Yeah, I moved over last summer. I have a job here in the NHS.
Okay, so you're working there, and you went down earlier. Why did you go down to the courts this morning?
Oh well, I was at the previous kneecap demonstration or support for Mokara a couple of months ago, and was incredibly inspired by the demonstration of solidarity. It has been labelled as a protest, but really that doesn't really capture what the event is. You know, as previous speakers Rosie and Gareth have alluded to, it's really a celebration of solidarity across different groups. And when I think of the current nightmare that we're all living in, this collective trauma, this vicarious trauma on a global scale, where we're inundated with the most distressing images of men, women, little children blown to pieces. This is what we need, is the people to come together and feel that they're actually not losing their mind. We haven't gone through the looking glass, and that there is hope, that there are people raising their voices very loudly. And Mokara is the focus of that today. But really, as has been said before, the Palestinians and the genocide against them by Israel is the story. This is all just distraction.
I'm a little bit confused by that. Is the solidarity that's been shown by the hundreds that are there, and I can see footage and images of it here now on Sky News in the background, is the show of solidarity and support for the people of Palestine or in support of Mokara?
Well, it's both, really. I mean, Mokara has been incredibly consistent, speaking truth to power at every performance with kneecap. So really, this attempt to silence him, to deplatform him as an artist on some trumped-up terrorist charge, this translates directly to the Palestinians. Really, kneecap has been one of the most outspoken and consistent and radical advocates on the international stage, country by country that they're touring. So really, defending Mokara is defending artists advocating for the Palestinians.
London-based journalist Vincent McAvinney is with us here on Lunchtime Live today. Vincent, what's the feeling in London this morning? You know, with the crowds that are there, and we heard from Stefan and Gareth and Rosie, what's the feeling from the public there as to what's going on?
Well, this has occurred at the same time as we've also had a record number of arrests recently, the most in a single day for supporting Palestine Action at a protest the weekend before last. Now, this has really raised a lot of interest and public debate about our terrorism laws, about when something becomes what's called a prescribed group here, which means that showing support for it is effectively banned, as Hamas and Hezbollah have been for quite some time. Those are the two organizations that Mokara voiced support for. And it's raising questions as to whether or not that is a curb on free speech, discussing this. There are many people who support the Palestinian cause in London, in the UK, who say you don't necessarily need to voice support for Hamas or Hezbollah to show support for this. So it is an area of the British law which is coming under real renewed scrutiny at the moment.
So that's really the focus of this, is it? It's the attention around the British laws around free speech and freedom of expression.
Yeah, that is exactly the focus on this, because these are the comments that in this case are really at issue. And then, you know, the Saturday before last, people writing their support for Palestine Action, which has just become a proscribed group. It's that designation which kicks this into a legal matter. And it's interesting to see, you know, this is all about this slight legal technicality that the Crown Prosecution and the police have 6 months to bring this charge. They, defense team, are arguing that it was brought just a day later. That's something the prosecution has dismissed, and the defense are trying to say it needed the attorney general's consent, which happened a day later. But the prosecution saying, no, the attorney general doesn't actually have to give consent until the very first court appearance, and that they did fall exactly within this 6 month window.
Yeah, this is the statute of limitations. And I know that we're, you know, awaiting a decision on that about whether or not this will actually go to full trial, whether Liam O'Hanley is likely to face a full trial in relation to these terror charges or terrorism offences that he denies. But do you have any idea there in London today when we're likely to get a decision on that from the judge?
I think we're probably likely to get something this afternoon as to whether or not he accepts the defence's argument to get this whole case thrown out, or whether he will say that no, that the CPS are in the right on this technicality, and then it will be for Moshara to submit a plea, and he can obviously plead not guilty and then it'll progress to a full trial, or he can plead guilty and try and get some kind of sort of mitigation on whatever the sentence could potentially be. So I think in the next few hours, we will likely get that determination by the judge.
Yeah, and just to clarify, I mean, irrespective of what way the judge makes a decision, it won't be a jury heard. There won't be a jury for this case anyway. Am I right in saying that? If it's a case that it goes to trial, it's a district judge that will preside over it.
That's correct.
If it goes to trial, as I said, and that hasn't been decided just yet. Have you, Vincent, you've covered a lot of court cases. I know you're working out of London there for quite a number of years, but have you, I suppose it's not frequent that you see scenes like this outside Westminster Magistrates Court too frequently.
No, I mean, you know, you do get caught. I think back to the Charlie Gard case a few years ago, where when there is real public interest in it and when a kind of campaign comes up behind it. So Charlie Gard was a young boy that was at the Great Ormond Street Hospital that they wanted to pull the life support for because of a sort of serious medical condition. The family objected, and then you had sort of Christian and evangelical groups coming in behind them, and we had big protests then. You do sometimes get it for the likes of the post office victims as well. They've had big shows of public support. But it isn't that common, to be honest, to have something like this. It's actually in quite a difficult spot where the Westminster Magistrates Court is, and why the police have put these restrictions on is, outside the court is effectively a small motorway. It's a sort of six-lane highway going into the Westway, which takes you out to Heathrow and the west of England. But around the location, you've also got hospitals. So access is required for ambulances. And so that's why the police have put these kind of strict structures in about not wanting to block the road.
Vincent, thanks a million for joining us here again on Lunchtime Live today. Susan is with me on the line. Susan, you're joining us from London. Describe the atmosphere really outside the courts.
The atmosphere is very jovial, and people are, you know, here to support Moshara. And it's certainly plenty of singing, and the harpist was just on, Rosie, that was on with you earlier. Fantastic. Lovely musicians. But like all of that is, you know, is great for Moshara, obviously. And it's just soul destroying to think that you have a young man in court charged with terrorism. Basically, for being in a band, and it all started with, you know, Coachella. And I'd just like to say, obviously, in the words of Daniel Cohen, nothing is politically right, which is morally wrong. And I think that's what we all need to take a look at now, and take a look at, you know, inside your own heart, and think, apart from today, what's going on in Gaza and what Israel is doing to the Palestinian people. It's just unbelievable. And nobody, you know, even our own government isn't standing up and doing what they should be doing.
Is that why you're there? Is that why?
Yeah, well, for everything. Obviously, I support.
It's a combination of things, really, is it?
100%. But I also think that for young men who came out and speak about what's morally wrong in the world, and then they're getting charged with terrorism. I mean, I grew up in a time, which I remember, when internment without trial was a thing the British government did to Irish people in the north. And it's like history repeating itself, that they think it's okay to take someone, charge them with terrorism, instead of looking at the big picture. That's why I'm here today, okay, to support them.
Yeah, okay. Did you mention, Susan, did you travel over, or are you living in London?
No, we live in Dublin. I travelled over. Myself and my husband travelled over. We came up the last one as well.
So you travelled over from Dublin today just to be there, to show support.
Yeah. 100%.
Are you surprised by the turnout?
What's that?
Are you surprised by the turnout?
No, because I was here for the last one as well. But yeah, there is definitely more people here this time around. And as I said, you can probably hear the crowd in the background. I'm just surprised, though, it's gone on so long this time, because obviously it was finished by this time the last time out. So it looks like it's going to go to a break at 1 o'clock, and there's still no sign of them coming out.
Yeah, that's, I suppose, often the case with legal proceedings.
Yeah.
Susan, listen, thanks a million for getting in touch with us. Stefan there as well. Gareth Fryhite, who's from Nicaragua Collective, the band, and Dundalk harpist Rosie Murphy. That was Vincent McAvinney as well, London-based journalist. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday. On News Talk.